Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew continues in his sermon series on the second epistle of Peter, with this sermon entitled, God's Purpose for Our Time, preached April 28, 2019. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, beginning with verse 8.
God's purpose for our time, meaning our life. He gave you life with one purpose, that you may repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the purpose. Not that you make money and be a doctor and all that. Listen, sir, it's serious business. God is eternal. He is above time. He is the creator of cosmic time. We live in time for a short period, maybe even up to 70 or 80 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. We live only a short time. Time and tide wait for no man. And you begin to realize time is drawing nigh. Therefore, I counsel you, sir, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By the grace of God, we live in time. The psalmist said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In Isaiah 44, we read, this is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. And the Lord told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That is, I loved you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Friends, our time is a gift from God to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Is that what you are doing, sir? You must answer to God. God knew us before He formed us in our mother's womb. Paul writes, for those God foreknew, that is, foreloved, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That's His purpose. That He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. He also says, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. For what purpose? To be holy and blameless in His sight. Ephesians 1:4. He told the Thessalonian believers, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are God's elect from eternity, loved of God. God loved us in eternity as fallen people to be saved by grace by repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose, sir. He didn't purpose you to make a lot of money. I said God loved us in eternity as fallen people to be saved by grace, by repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose for human beings who live in time by God's will is to be saved by repentance and faith. Everyone must cry out, "What must I do to be saved from God's wrath to sinners?" In Acts 2 we read, "They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" That is to be saved. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in Acts 16, the Philippian jailer cried out at midnight, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer came, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household." Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. Where there is true repentance, there will be saving faith, and vice versa. We live our lives by repentance and faith all of life. Our divinely given time may end at any moment. I cannot guarantee you that you will live 70 years. You may, but you may die today, sir. The purpose of our lives, that is our time, is to do one thing, that is to be saved by repentance and faith. You are not sure that you will live tomorrow. Therefore, as Paul tells us, now is the time to be saved. Right now, sir, as I am speaking to you, it is time for you to be saved. Paul says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. God is speaking through me to you now. Now is the day of salvation. The rich man of Luke 16 did everything he thought that was important. So he made a lot of money. Yet he did not think it important to repent and believe in God and be saved. Suddenly he died and went to hell in his spirit. He was experiencing fire, agony, and torment. In hell, he believed the Bible, but it was too late for him. He quickly became interested in the salvation of his five unbelieving brothers. He wanted God to perform a miracle. No miracle was made available for them to believe in God. The answer came, they had the Bible. They must repent and believe the God of the Bible. Friends, there is no repentance after death. I said there is no repentance after death. Is there a person here who is sure he will not die today? What's the answer?
No,
no one. Only eternal God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 verse 10. We want to speak to you 2 points. First, don't repent and perish eternally in hell. Oh, this pastor believes in hell? I do, sir. I believe in Jesus who spoke about hell. Jesus said, Luke 13:5, unless you repent, you too all will perish. The rich man who went to hell was a mocker of the Bible, like the mockers Peter speaks of in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. Let me read it to you. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, mockers will come, scoffers, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Oh, they have ambitions, sir. They have desires. Nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They will say, where is this coming he promised? They are saying, you cannot trust Jesus Christ. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of time. It's a lie. These mockers treat the Bible as a book of myths and lies. They are fools who deny the God of the Bible. They believe in naturalism, false science, psychologies, and philosophies, and so on. They believe in everything but God's truth. They refuse to believe the Bible. Peter writes, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking, correct thinking, sir. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. He's speaking about the Bible, sir. Mockers are given a perverted mind, a adokimon noon. They twist the truth. Are you a person twisting the truth? I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles, the Bible. Bible, 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 sir. Yep. Bible alone speaks truth. Mockers are given a perverted mind. They cannot think correctly. God gave them over to a perverted mind. Romans 1:28. God did it. They cannot think correctly. They deliberately forget what the Bible teaches, that God is truth. He cannot lie. What he promises he will do, that God did come in Jesus Christ after many millennia to fulfill the promise of Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelion, the first gospel declaration. Genesis 3:15, which says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So Paul writes in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, listen, but when the time had fully come, Friends, God comes on time. Never late, never early. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of son. God's view of time is different from ours. In Isaiah 55, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can read my book on Isaiah. I wrote a big book on Isaiah. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "For the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and thousand years like a day." See, you have to be pious and learned to interpret Scripture. Stupid people cannot do that. Notice, Peter did not say, "For the Lord a day is 1,000 years. As 1,000 years. There is a difference between is and as. People thought Jesus was going to come back at the end of 6,000 years based on Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So to them, 6 days means what, sir? 6,000 years. Stupid. So this is important. You go to a church where the pastor is, what, sir? Pious and learned. Even in languages, in Hebrew and Greek. In verse 8, Peter is speaking not to mockers who refuse to believe Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Rather, he is speaking to agapetoi, to God's beloved true believers for whom Christ died. They are regenerate and they repented and trusted in Christ alone for their own eternal salvation. They read the Bible and think about it correctly, wholesomely. As we read in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 8. "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you towards a wholesome thinking. Mockers do not believe that Jesus is coming again. They make a lot of money. They live in lust. Their philosophy is, what, sir? Let us eat and drink and be happy, for tomorrow we die." You are going to live 27 more years, financial planner says. Do you have money to retire, what, sir? Well, there is no hell or heaven, so let us enjoy the pleasures of sin in the short time we have. Then we die like animals. Animals are not created in the image and likeness of God, only people. But Jesus is coming, and his coming is imminent. Luke 12, 35 through 40 teaches that. He will come like a thief in the night. Only the Father knows when he will come. Jesus himself said so. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24, 36. In the meantime, true believers like poor Lazarus die in faith and go to paradise. We read in Luke 16:22, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Angels are ministering spirits to God's people. Unbelievers who refuse to believe in Jesus and spend their limited time enjoying 24/7 the pleasures of sin, they will die, and their spirits will enter hell to experience fire, torment, and agony. Friends, heaven or hell waits for every human being, including Americans. Point number two, sir. Repent and be saved. If the Lord promises he will fulfill all his promises, 2 Corinthians 1:20, God cannot lie, as we read in Titus 1 verse 2, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, cannot lie, promised before the beginning of time. God is truth. God speaks truth. Devil is a liar and he always speaks lies. Consider the following scriptures. As you are thinking about your own salvation, make one thing certain. Make your calling and election what, sir? Sure. Why? You may die. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should die, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? James 1:17. Every good, I wrote a book on James. You can read it. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being. We change. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Romans 3:4, not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other salvation. All others worship demons, including Americans who make money. Behind money is the demon. That's why you change your trust from God to money. You count the money, sir. And you are happy you have enough money. You don't even pay tithe, because tithe is too much. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is what, sir? Truth. Let God be true and all men liars. John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil. Devil is a liar, sir. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, when your children lies, they are inspired by whom? The devil. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and father of all lies. God is patient. We are impatient. As I said, God promised in Genesis 3:15 to send us a Savior. and the Savior will destroy the father of all lies and liars. And he came in the fullness of time, born of a woman Mary, Virgin Mary, born to obey the law perfectly and to accomplish our redemption. So we read, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. The Hebrew writer says, I wrote a book on Hebrews. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free. Thank God we are free. And free those who are all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. God sent his Son to destroy the devil. After several millennia of the promise of Genesis 3:15, God is on time, never late or early. He fulfills his promises as per his own timetable. God's word carries God's authority. God is not slow or forgetful or impotent to fulfill his promises. He fulfills his promises in his time, not when we expect, sir. He is coming to judge the world as he promised. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Then the wicked will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. He is coming, sir. God waited 120 years before the flood came, as he promised, to destroy the wicked of the world. After his resurrection and ascension, people expected Jesus to return in the first century. 2 millennia have gone by. The elect died and went to heaven like Lazarus, and the wicked died in their sins and went to hell. All these 2,000 years. Listen to Peter. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. He's coming, sir. He may come today. That is why his coming is imminent. Keep watch by living a godly life and doing the will of God. God is long-suffering, sir. The Lord operates on a time schedule different from ours. Did you hear that, sir? He has reasons for what appears to us as delay. God is long-suffering, especially toward you. He is long-suffering toward us. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. That means those who refuse to repent. He punishes the children and their children. Do you know your children suffer for your sin and their sin? Children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And Paul writes, what if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for what, sir? Destruction. What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? God's people. God is long-suffering. He is waiting so that all the elect, even those yet to be born, may hear the gospel, believe, and be saved. Yet to be born. When the last elect is saved, Christ will come as he promised. So we read Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Psalm 78:5-7. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn will tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. You see, God has a purpose in apparent delay in his second coming. Acts 2:39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off in time, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Friends, listen. The Lord is patient with you, God's elect people, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, that is salvation. Peter tells us, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, 2 Peter 3:15. God is gracious in delaying his coming based on our timetable, so that every elect will hear the gospel, repent and believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Therefore, true believers should not be impatient, sir. They must live a holy life and be the light of the world, sharing the gospel. The Lord will come when his time arrives. Until then, we are to function as the light of the world by evangelizing the world. The prophet Habakkuk says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. We are to occupy until he comes. King James Version, Luke 19:13. We are to do the Lord's business. Not making all the money, sir. What is the Lord's business? with the meaning of the gospel by knowing the word and doing the word. The gospel is the meaning. We must go to school, go to work, go to worship, fellowship with God's people, get married, raise children, to love God, and so on. We must go to school, go to work, go to worship, fellowship with God's people, get married, raise children, to love God, and so on. Many people in history did not occupy while watching for Jesus to come. Instead, they quit their jobs, and eventually they had nothing to eat. But Paul tells us, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith, the gospel, and is worse than an unbeliever. And my translation is what, sir? Worse than an animal. I have no respect for anyone who will not provide for his family. He instructed the Thessalonian believers, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody. That doesn't mean we shouldn't help other people. They did in Acts chapter 2 and 4 and 6 and so on. And we do that in this church. He also told them, St. Paul, for even when we were with you, we gave this rule. What is the rule? If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Jesus himself worked as a carpenter and supported his mother and those who depended on him. God is waiting that his elect may come to repentance. God commands all people everywhere to repent with godly sorrow, hating sin and delighting in doing God's will immediately, exactly, and what, sir? With joy. He commands all people to repent. He commands all people to believe. He commands all people to love one another. He commands, sir. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ are two sides of the same coin. A believer lives by repentance and faith all of life. Paul spoke of this in Acts 26:20, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God. And what, sir? Prove your repentance by obedience, by doing the will of God. I don't like liars who say, come to me and say, I repent. But prove it to me that you obey God. The regenerate believer receives the gifts of repentance and faith. In Acts 5:31, Peter said about Jesus Christ, God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior. What's the purpose? That he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a gift. And Paul writes, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe. Believe is a gift. Not only to believe on him, but also suffer for him. We repent and believe in Jesus. We repent, we believe, by the gift of repentance and saving faith. When we repent and believe, we do what the prodigal son did. We return to the Father, confessing our sins, and begin to live an obedient life. We experience a change of thinking and behavior. As we read in Ephesians 4:28, listen. He who has been stealing must, what, sir? Steal no longer, but he must work with his hands, manual labor. And to give, that you may give to those in need. I was a thief, now I give. He who was once a thief now works hard and gives to others in need. It is a radical change, sir. So Paul writes, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off. Take it off. It's dirty. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted, old nature, with its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, regeneration, new mind, new will, new affection, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We love God because he first loved us, sir. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Paul writes, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved. Election, sir. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, through the belief in the truth. Nobody can be saved unless what, sir? God draws him and Christ draws him. Why? Why is it, sir? We are dead. Spiritually, dead. We make money, but spiritually we are dead. Oh, we glory, 4.0. What about Jesus? Did you trust in Christ alone? Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. No one can come to me unless, what, sir? The Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up on the cross from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. And Paul writes, for God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy upon them all. Romans 11:32. God had mercy on the elect. You are blessed, sir. Nobody wants to come to this church to listen to the word of God unless, what, sir? They are elect of God. Jesus is coming, as he promised, in glory to judge. He will judge all mockers who reject the truth of the Bible, especially the truth of Christ's second coming, so that they can sin 24/7, making all the money. Mockers will be raised up, judged, and sent to suffer eternal punishment when he comes. Why is God waiting? Is waiting for our repentance. You have been brought here by the Holy Spirit so that you may hear these words of life. From me, sir, today you hear God's voice. May his word lead us all to repentance, yes, that we may rejoice and heaven may rejoice. Jesus himself said, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Heaven rejoices. Angels rejoice. Paul said, what if God did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy prepared in advance for glory? Objects of mercy prepared in advance for what, sir? Glory. We cannot even conceive in our mind what glory means. And not only that, he said, what if God choosing to show his wrath and make his power known bore with great patience the objects of wrath prepared for destruction. What destruction? Eternal destruction. Romans 9:22. Jesus said, then the king will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But he also said, then the king will say to those on his right, which side do you want, sir? Right or left of Jesus? Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed. Sir, only two destinies. Covenant breaking means cursed. Covenant keeping means blessed. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Repent or what, sir? Perish. Listen to these few words. Luke 16:14-15. The Pharisees who loved money. Do you love money, sir? I don't. I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my mind. And I prove it by loving God's people. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. The word detestable means feces. Love of money is the root of all evil. People want to highly value things, degrees, money, power, beauty, brilliance. Matthew 16:26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Luke 10:20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. You read that. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven in eternity. Peter says, 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. What did the dying thief do on the cross? About to die. He said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, which is essentially reduced. I confess you are Lord. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he died first, went to paradise, waiting for the thief who confessed. I want all of you to be in paradise. Heavenly Father, we pray that you have mercy upon us. Help us to do one thing, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. May we hear from Jesus. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grace Valley Christian Center is committed to the unchanging truth of the Holy Scriptures. We have been proclaiming the whole counsel of God since 1974 through our weekly worship services, our website resources, and our publishing ministry. For more information about our church, to find more edifying sermons, or to order books by the Reverend P.G. Matthew, please visit our website at gracevalley.org.